Hi everyone, this is Cece. I am so excited to share that I am teaching my super popular Hacking Writing on a Line Level class in November. And this time, it's a three-day event. We'll spend the first 2 days learning rules and techniques that will help you elevate your writing. And then the third day will be dedicated for Q&A. This class is filled with examples, and I mean it. All examples, all the time. So you will leave with an invaluable toolkit to hack your own writing on a line level. Check out the link in my bio on Instagram for more information. I hope to see you there.
The best thing about writing? Anything can happen. You get to build a world from scratch and fill it with daring heroes and epic tales of good and evil. The worst thing about writing? Anything can happen. Where do you even start when literally anything is possible? How about a deck with more than 30 billion writing or world-building prompts? The Story Engine deck and Deck of Worlds are a great way to fire up your imagination. Create a new character with fun quirks and daring motivations in less than 60 seconds with the Story Engine. With Deck of Worlds, build entire civilizations with distinct foods, customs, and history, and set the plot in motion with world-shaking conflicts for your characters to overcome. It's time to write your next bestseller. Our decks give you the tools to tell the story you want to tell. Visit storyenginedeck.com and use promo code AboutWriting10 at checkout to get 10% off your entire order from now until September 30th. That's AboutWriting10. Slay your writer's block and get excited to sit down at your desk every day. Go to storyenginedeck.com and pick up the Story Engine Deck in Deck of Worlds.
Hi there and welcome to our show, The Shit No One Tells You About Writing. I'm Bianca Murray, and I'm joined by Carly Waters and Cece Lira from PS Literary Agency. Hi everyone, welcome back to our monthly comps segment. We took a break from it over the summer, but we are back and raring to go. As per usual, we have Emily Summer from East City Bookshop, who is joining us from DC to answer all your comp questions. Emily, welcome.
I am so glad to be back. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for continuing to be a part of this. I know it is time consuming. It's a lot of work for you to dig around your brain and the store to get the perfect comps for our listeners. They really, really appreciate it, and so do we. So let us kick it off. Here is the first question for you.
Thank you, Emily, for your insight regarding my adult contemporary multi-POV suspense. Single mom Hazel gets embroiled in a string of art thefts and must navigate secret identities, a love triangle, and even ancient magic as she fights to stop the thief while protecting her teenage son who has epilepsy. As his primary caregiver, Hazel is terrified of losing her teaching job. But when a valuable sculpture is bequeathed to her grade school, her contract renewal seems imminent. However, a growing number of art robberies now threaten the safety of the sculpture, and a fight with the school board erupts. When auction night finally arrives, the sculpture goes missing, and Hazel's opposing love interests collide. There's also a speculative twist, although done in a regular small-town way. My story has humorous elements and shares the mysterious but uplifting tones of Remarkably Bright Creatures by Shelby Van Pelt, but it showcases a first-person POV character who is severely disabled and nonverbal, looking for a comp that reflects this unique perspective. Thank you.
Okay, so even though we took a summer break, our callers are ready with their own comps, which I love it. No brain drain over the summer. We're right here already with a great comp. I think Remarkably Bright Creatures for tone, it sounds like it's a really good one, and it certainly keeps selling for us. It's about to be a movie with Sally Field, so I can't wait for that. And throwing in the challenge of a first-person POV character who is nonverbal and severely disabled, my immediate idea is a great book from a Georgia author. It's called How Lucky by Will Leach. And the narrator in that book is a young man. He's in his 20s, I believe, who has spinal muscular atrophy, SMA. So it's a very distinctive narrative voice that might work here. It's also, like this story is described, it's a small town story. This one takes place in Athens, Georgia. So not small town, but it has that town vibe, a good college town. And it has some humor. He is very quick-witted. The narrator is very quick-witted, very smart, very funny. So I think that could work for that particular POV. And then for one other one, that might work with art robberies, a missing sculpture, the sort of suspense nature. I thought about The Trackers by Charles Frazier. So Charles Frazier, of course, is a huge name because of his previous book, Cold Mountain, although I don't think he's so big anymore that he can't be mentioned. And The Trackers certainly, I'm sure, sold well, but was not a huge book the way Cold Mountain is. And that one is also there, like a piece of art goes missing and there's an attempt to track the art and to find it down. I don't have anything that combines all of those elements also with a little bit of magic and a speculative twist, but hopefully the mix of those things might help a little bit.
Wonderful, Emily. Thank you. Okay, here's number two.
Susan, seeking comps for my multi-POV literary novel set in a medieval English village. In 1350, women have few rights, but when her husband dies, 47-year-old Margaret seizes her chance for autonomy and control of their brewing business, despite the opposition of the village patriarchy, including a man who may have caused her husband's death. When 11-year-old Agnes's father sends her to Margaret as a servant, then disappears with her brother, she plots to find them and reunite her family. Pressures build as village men seek to control Margaret. She faces crisis after crisis. No one listens when young Agnes suspects a single hand behind their troubles, but that knowledge becomes the greatest threat to them all. The novel's themes are relevant today: security versus autonomy, the intersectionality of age and gender in a patriarchy, and what people are willing to do with their backs against the wall. Thanks so much for your comp suggestions.
I am immediately invested in Margaret and Agnes's story. And in part, that is because I have loved Lauren Groff's two most recent books so much, Matrix and The Vaster Wilds. And in Matrix, we're in a similar time period. And in The Vaster Wilds, we have a young servant girl who is our narrator. So both of Lauren Groff's recent books remind me of what is being described here. Very much books concerned with feminism in medieval times. The Vaster Wilds is early colonial times, not medieval, but very much some survival issues, security versus autonomy, age and gender concerns. So all of that. However, Lauren Groff, of course, is the biggest deal. So maybe too big to comp. I also thought about Maggie O'Farrell's The Marriage Portrait, similar themes, excellent literary historical fiction. Also perhaps too big to comp. So in the hopes of finding someone that is a little less lofty and aspirational, although still wonderful, I thought about Nicola Griffith's books, Hild, which is a little old, but its sequel, Meanwood, M-E-N-E-W-O-O-D, is recent. And those also are medieval historical fiction with extremely feminist themes and preoccupations. So Hild is old, but Meanwood, its sequel, is recent. So that could work. And then I thought about the works of Jesse Burton, who writes excellent literary historical fiction, but is not as big as, you know, Lauren Groff and Maggie O'Farrell today. And I thought about her books, The Miniaturist and The Muse. But you're in great company with all the people that I thought about. I thought Hilary Mantel, I mean, too big to even mention. But anyway, great job being in great company. So hopefully Nicola Griffith or Jesse Burton might work a little bit.
Awesome. Okay, here's number three.
Hi, Emily. I'm looking for comps for my novel in progress. I'm writing a literary horror in which a woman named Beth unravels after discovering that the pharmaceutical company she works for has been sacrificing patients. It's told from Beth's point of view and also her dead brother's. Clues and connections about the past and her brother's mysterious death become clearer in the present day when Beth decides to bring down the company and its evil CEO. There's themes of illness here and capitalism. Some of the comps I'm thinking about now are Severance and Notes on Your Sudden Disappearance because of the format. Part of it is written in second person. I hope you can help. Thanks so much.
I say yes to Severance. Again, thank you for coming up with your own comps. Bianca, your listeners have been trained so well. I would say no to Notes on Your Sudden Disappearance, even though that is one of my absolute favorite books in recent years, and I love any chance to mention it and recommend it. But it is so grounded and realistic that I just don't think it would work for a work of literary horror. Severance also feels very grounded, but it has enough of a speculative nature and enough of the sort of, oh my goodness, horror vibe that I think that that totally works. But Notes on Your Sudden Disappearance, despite the second person POV and the sibling story, I think it's just too thematically different to work as a comp. Again, I'm not an agent, so I don't know. But I thought instead of some literary horror books that may deal with capitalism and industry and skewer that in their horror writing. And those books are Rouge by Mona Awad, Youth Juice by E.K. Sathu, S-A-T-H-U-E, and Natural Beauty by Ling Ling Wang. And those are three literary horror novels that all look at the wellness industry. So it's not the pharmaceutical industry, but it's very close. They're certainly looking at capitalism, and they have women at the forefront who are figuring out that things have gone wrong. So I would suggest all three of those.
Perhaps another one might also be Starling House by Alex E. Harrow. It was a Reese's Book Club pick.
I'm going to mention Alex Harrow later in the session, but yes, that's a good thought too.
Awesome. Okay, here we go. Number four.
Hello, this is Cammie. I would love some comp help for my work in progress. It is a coming-of-age story set in a magical forest. It has multiple POVs and follows three generations of women and their wolves as they evolve from wild to domesticated. I want to say it's when women were dragons meets a wolf called Wander. But those books are drastically different genres. I'm hoping to find a multi-generational fantasy book or coming-of-age stories with fantasy elements to comp. Any suggestions? Thanks for your help.
Hi, Cammie. Thank you so much for participating in this segment. I love When Women Were Dragons meets A Wolf Called Wander. I know that they're different genres. A Wolf Called Wander, you know, not an adult book. But that really, to me, gives me a feel for what you're doing for here. I think it captures the multi-generational aspect. I think it captures the magical forest, the wild wolves to domesticate. I love that. So I think you're spot on there. Not an agent, not an editor, but I like it. I will say that I immediately thought about a book that is coming out in 2025 that just came across my desk yesterday. One of my favorite editors, Caroline Zancan from Holt, sent me several books. I squealed when I opened the package, but one of them is called The Hounding by, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Zenobi Purvis. The first name is X-E-N-O-B-E, and it comes out in 2025. And I don't think it's really magical, but it's intrigued me so much that I want to put it on everybody's radar. And it's about a village of young women, sort of virgin suicides-esque, that's mentioned in its comps. And the townspeople begin to believe that these women are turning into dogs. So pay attention in 2025 for The Hounding by Purvis. In the meantime, two fantasy series that may have that multi-generational aspect to it are The Shadow of the Gods by John Gwynn. That's the first of a trilogy. The first two are out now. And Bone Shard Daughter by Andrea Stewart. Those may be too epic, considering the way you've described yours. Those are sort of fantasy sagas, and again, the start of series, but they do have that multi-generational aspect to it, I believe. If you want something sort of smaller, quieter, gentler, magical forest vibes, maybe look at The Honey Witch by Sydney Shields, which just came out this year and is doing very well for us. I think it's going to be a great comp in coming years because it is doing so well. And that's a gentler, magical coming of age. It does have a grandmother and a granddaughter, so it has that generational element. And then I also thought of Alice Hoffman's books, her Practical Magic books, a little old, but a couple of more recent ones have come out lately. And Sarah Addison Allen also writes like women and families with some magical realism. So if the hard fantasy, like epic, is too much, maybe consider those for a different aspect.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, next one.
Hi there. I'm hoping to get a little help with a comp for my memoir, which is called Collapsed, A Life Broken Open. I've been looking bookstores, online, doing all the things, and I'm having trouble finding a comp that sort of speaks to what my book is about, which is basically being a child of immigrant parents in North America and just the experience of wanting to fit in and belong, but having lots of restrictions at home and sort of having the parental attitude of not getting too close, you know, to people in your group, or really to stay close to home and your own, and our own values and cultures.
I love a memoir. So any memoir about an immigrant experience or pushing up against very difficult parents, I'm going to read it. So I am here for Collapsed, A Life Broken Open. Without knowing the country that we're immigrating from and the culture, and without knowing if there is some precipitating event that does break open the life that causes this collapse of the title, out those details, I would suggest Crying in H Mart by Michelle Zahner. Perhaps Too Big, because it was such a blockbuster of a memoir, but it deals very nicely with cultural conflict and parental relationships. It's a beautiful book if you haven't read it already. And then three others that are not as aspirational and lofty, but still could work. Call Me American by Abdi Noor Iftin. Hijab Butch Blues by Lamia H. H is the full last name. And Brown Album by Porochista Kakpur. So all of those are children of immigrants in North America wanting to fit in and having this cultural conflict between what is expected of them at home in their own culture and their parents' values and what they are exposed to and how they want to belong.
Lovely. Thank you, Emily. Okay, next one.
Hello, I'm seeking comps for my single POV adult romantasy novel. It has magical elements similar to Holly Black's Book of Night, but its setting and tone are closer to Sarah J. Maas's A Court of Thorns and Roses. Its themes are enemies to lovers and found family. Forced to rip into the minds of her captor's enemies and make them see things that aren't real, 21-year-old Lucine dreams of fleeing to Kakath, her father's city. Only escape is impossible since she's bound to a stone her owner controls her with. So when Rai, a warrior from Kakath, arrives, she decides he's her way out, even if she must trick his senses. Only Rai buys her stone, giving her no choice but to return with him to Kakath without freedom. The hope of any help from her father is crushed when Lucine learns he and his entire clan were executed for the same gift she possesses. Yet when paintings shift color and faces change on dead bodies, she realizes someone from her clan is hiding in plain sight, and Rai may be the only one stopping them from stealing her stone and controlling her. Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to any suggestions.
I love the mention of Holly Black in the Book of Night. I think that Sarah J. Maas, understandably, is too big, but I think Holly Black is, for me, if I were reading a query letter, that would speak to me and would not scare me away or make me look askance. So in thinking of things that might fill that A Court of Thorn and Roses void, if we don't use that, two books in the romanticy vein that have done extremely well for us at East City, so I think would be great comparison titles. One Dark Window by Rachel Gillig and The Serpent and the Wings of Night by Carissa Broadbent. And both of those are going to have the magic, intrigue, suspense, romanticy vibes that might work.
Marvelous. Okay, here is our next one.
Hi, my name is Peter Sabo, and I would appreciate a comp title recommendation for my novel titled The Revived. It's an action thriller with speculative elements. Audience range is 20 to 40 years old. The tone is fast-paced and exciting, with a protagonist who swings between cynicism, defiance, and sheer panic. When a self-absorbed young man's famous pop star mother goes missing, a woman who also happens to be one of the revived 50 people in the world who received mysterious psychic transmissions, he pulls himself away from his privileged upbringing to find her. But when his search leads him to a shadowy international conspiracy set on controlling the global economy and who see the revived as a threat, he's drawn into a deadly game to save his mom and outwit the conspirators before they destroy the future of civilization. Thank you.
Working in a creative industry, I've seen lots of writers and illustrators feel squeamish around money conversations. As a literary agent, I love talking about money, and that's why debunking money conversations are so important. Like, many people think you need loads of money to start investing, or they put off investing because it seems like a later problem. Or creators who deal with art and writing don't have time or passion to research and manage something like investments. That's why I'm thrilled that today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing for your future. You don't need a lot of money or expertise to invest with Acorns. In fact, you can get started with just your spare change. Acorns recommends an expert-built portfolio that fits you and your money goals, then automatically invests your money for you. Growing up as a young girl who was told she wasn't good at math, investing definitely scared me, but I'm proud to say that I've overcome all those mindset concerns and love talking about investing and how money can be given a chance to grow over time with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/TSNOTYAW or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Paid non-client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors, LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important information disclosures at acorns.com/TSNOTYAW.
Okay, as soon as I heard the revived, I thought about zombies, but it sounds like maybe this is not zombies and it's got a pop star in it, which is one of my favorite things. So I'm excited for this one, Peter. So thank you for telling us about it. I do not have a specific title for you, but I do have some authors of high stakes, speculative action thrillers. And maybe if you dig into their lists, you'll find the one that is right to compare to the revived. And that's my number one favorite that I mention in almost every comp session. If there were a drinking game, it'd be like drink when Emily recommends Blake Crouch. So Blake Crouch, Ernest Cline, and then two that are mentioned fewer times that might work. Rob Hart, who has a lot of books that are these very high stakes speculative thrillers. And Noah Hawley, who is a television writer who writes excellent action novels with just enough of a like futuristic or speculative bend to be really compelling. So look at Rob Hart and Noah Hawley and see if any of them have something that might work. I'm intrigued. I'm here for it.
Thank you. Okay, next one.
Hi, I'm looking for comps for my adult historical fiction with a dash of magic, The Monsters of Her Rage. In 1873, during the cholera epidemic in Alabama, when her beloved is murdered, Eleanor uses her rage to bring to life a monstrous scarecrow. She tasks the monster with enacting her revenge on the vile men who committed the heinous crime. When word spreads around her small Alabama town, and women seek Eleanor and her scarecrow monster to take care of the abusive and belittling men in their own lives, Eleanor can't say no to the money the women offer. I think that The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner would be a good comp for the MC who helps women get rid of abusive men in their lives, but I can't quite think of any other comps that would go along with this. Thank you so much.
I love the idea of The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner, and that I feel like absolutely for an adult historical with a dash of magic, that one seems perfect. I'm really drawn to this idea of this scarecrow monster because that seems at odds with the gentle dash of magic. Maybe it's not that gentle, but with the sort of more pleasant magic. So a scarecrow monster sounds scary to me. So with that in mind, I thought about a book called Slewfoot by Brahm, which sort of takes it into horror territory, but it definitely has the same like witchcraft, revenge, a monster seeks to avenge wrongdoing. So depending on how scary our scarecrow monster is and how into horror we may veer, look at Slewfoot by Brahm. I also thought about The Change by Kirsten Miller, which also concerns itself with feminism, revenge, and magic, but it's contemporary. But it still might work. I'm not sure if tonally or thematically, but look at those two. But I think you're right on the money already with The Lost Apothecary.
Thanks, Emily. Okay, next one.
Hi, it's Pam from Alabama, and thank you for everything you do. I'm looking for comps for my novel, Junction. Here's how it goes. Set in the fictional mill town of Junction, Alabama, during the rise of Reaganomics in the mid-1980s, this novel and stories follows Millie Calhoun as she faces a series of obstacles. the entrenched misogynies of the Southern Baptist Church, the obsessive jealousy, abusiveness, and infidelity of her handsome first husband, whom she marries at age 17, the loss of a beloved friend to cancer, and a complex love affair with the owner of the factory where she works, on her path to becoming a self-assured, independent woman and entrepreneur at the dawn of the New South. Written in a style influenced by Elizabeth Strout and Mavis Gallant, the book offers a literary expression of specific gender struggles experienced by countless Southern women who came of age at a time when factory job losses, secularism, and the broader reach of feminism challenged the patriarchal traditions of the Deep South and gradually opened doors for women poised to walk through them. I love Olive Kittredge, and I would love to use it as a comp, but also looking for something newer.
Hi, Pam from Alabama. This is Emily from South Carolina. So hello to a fellow Southerner. I grew up in mill towns in the 80s, and one of the books that I thought of when you led off with that description is In West Mills by Deshaun Charles Winslow, which is set in a textile town in North Carolina in the 70s, 80s, around that time. I also thought about Redwood Court by Daylana R.A. Dameron, which just came out this year and is a novel in stories. So I think that a Southern setting works here. The time period, this one is, Redwood Court is probably is more 90s than 80s, but it certainly starts in the 80s. And the structure, I think, would work. However, both In West Mills and Redwood Court are writing about and from the Black Southern experience. So if that does not work for yours, another suggestion I have is a forthcoming book. It's coming out in spring of 2025. The bane of my existence as a bookseller is that I'm always reading books that I can't recommend to people right away. You can't buy it right now because I'm reading books that are coming out in advance. But The Bright Years by Sarah Damoff is going to come out from Simon & Schuster in the spring of 2025. And it is set in Texas. It's set in the 70s and the 80s. And it follows a woman who is very much finding her place. She is dealing with the entrenched misogyny of the South. She is dealing with domestic abuse, a very young husband, and you see her grow through the years. So I think the book is going to do really well. I absolutely loved it. I think it could work as a future comp, but I would say Redwood Court and then soon to come The Bright Years, those might work. And I love anything that compares to Liz Strout, the one of the goats.
Yeah, agreed. Okay, here's the next one.
Hi, I'm struggling to find commercial women's fiction comps. My Linda Linda has the messy class and family dynamics of Jenny Jackson's Pineapple Street and Kristen Hannah's complicated female relationships, although tonally Hannah's not a good fit for the toxic and conniving Linda. The book is set in the mid-80s and uses dual POV to explore two different women's views of Linda. Part one, first person, establishes the main protagonist. Part two flips to a new character in third person close. Part three moves back to the main protagonist, who isn't named until late in the book when she finally finds her voice. Like Eleanor Oliphant, she hears her mother in her head. The book is akin in tone and humor, but not structure. Plus, Eleanor Oliphant is too old and too big for a comp. Any ideas on exploring toxic female friendships or books with similar structure or an unnamed protagonist? Thank you, Emily and Bianca. I have missed you and this feature so much.
Okay, I love Linda Linda. I loved Pineapple Street, and I absolutely loved Eleanor Oliphant. So anything about a toxic friendship is right in my wheelhouse. So I'm going to be looking out for this one. You're right that Eleanor Oliphant, I think, is older and big. And I also, when I hear Eleanor Oliphant, I immediately think about the trauma piece and her awkwardness and Eleanor's particular situation. So like, even if the tone and humor work, without those elements, I would probably not, even if Eleanor Oliphant wasn't too big and too old, I would skew away from that. I think Pineapple Street is great because if you're talking about the same messy class dynamics, I think that's a super one. And what I would add are the books by Taffy Brodesser Ackner. So her first book, Fleischman is in Trouble, was made into the excellent TV series with Claire Danes. And her most recent book, one of the big books of this summer, Long Island Compromise. Neither of them are about toxic female friendships, but they are both very much about toxic characters. And both of them have very interesting structures, and they both have interesting choices in terms of narrator. So in Fleischman is in Trouble, you do not know who the narrator is until maybe halfway through the book. And then you realize, oh, this is why we're getting this perspective. Long Island Compromise II ends up having an unpredictable and sort of surprising narrative bend. So not toxic female friendships, but very much toxic characters, absolutely messy class dynamics, a lot of the sharp tone and humor of Eleanor. So take a look at those if you haven't read her. Also read all of her celebrity profiles because she's a wonderful celebrity journalist as well. I'm a big Taffy stan.
Awesome, Emily. Thank you. Okay, I think this is number 11.
Hi, Bianca, Carly, and Cece. I am busy looking for comps for my psychological suspense thriller novel completed at 79,000 words. Moving to the idyllic seaside village of Rock, Cornwall, expectant parents Darcy and Alex join an antenatal class with the promise of new friendships and a fresh start. However, as their due date approaches, they unknowingly open up to someone in their group with sinister intentions, sharing their lives and vulnerabilities with someone plotting to steal their baby. Blending the wrenching challenges of parenthood found in Julie McAllister's books with the intricate dynamics of relationships in Lisa Jewell's books, my book finds its readers in the midst of a compelling It Could Happen to Me world. I would really appreciate your help with this, because while I have the authors, I don't really have particular books from other authors that I could really recommend or use as comparison titles. So I would really appreciate your help. Thank you.
I think you're right on the money with Jillian McAllister meets Lisa Jewell. I hear the blurb about parents in a prenatal class and a threat to their baby. And I see those authors and I know exactly what I'm going to get and I'm going to buy it. And my teenage daughter is going to buy it. So way to go. I think you're right on the money. For specific titles, I would suggest either Greenwich Park or The Other Mothers, both of which are by Katherine Faulkner. And those are both domestic suspense about, you know, what is happening in our backyard, what it could happen to you, it could happen to me. The threat is right in our inner circle domestically. Excellent. I would also look at, I don't know if this one sold well enough to really be a good comp, but I would look at The Photographer by Mary Dixie Carter. The photographer of the title is a children's birthday party photographer who ingratiates herself into a family's life. Dun, dun, dun. I won't say any more about that, but The Photographer could work. I really enjoyed that one, even if, as I said, I'm not quite sure it sold well enough to be an effective selling point. It should have. And two books that are coming out soon that I will put on your radar. Again, maybe it's this point in the season where it's like I'm reading all these spring books and hearing about all these spring books and want to give little teasers. So there's an Irish author named Andrea Mara, M-A-R-A, who I read when I was in Ireland last year. She has a book coming out in the U.S. called There's Someone in the Attic, but all of her books, which are available, even if they're not all available in the U.S., they're available in the U.K., maybe in Canada. And they're all this domestic suspense. It's very much like what is happening in our home, in our neighborhood, in our friend group. Excellent. And then there's a book coming out in the spring by Sophie Stava, S-T-A-V-A, called Count My Lies. And that, again, is like someone, I mean, part of an inner circle with nefarious ends in mind. So I think that could work.
I think Ashley O'Drain's latest as well might also make a good comp for this.
Yeah, and she sells really well. So that's like, she's at the right level of comp too. So that's a great idea.
Yeah. Okay, number 12.
Hi, my name is Jenny Lynn, and I'm so grateful for everything you do. I'm hoping you can help me with some comps for my romance novel. It's a multi-POV, 114,000 words, set in 2172 in Los Angeles. It's not hard science fiction and does not have aliens. The world has changed for the better, and mankind, having explored the solar system, is ready to go further. The main characters, Alexandra and Eric, are working separately on a new deep space network that someone doesn't want to succeed. It has a secret identity trope. For decades, Alexandra has hidden her identity as the reclusive world-famous inventor, Al, for safety reasons. Instead, she uses her cover of an event planner to conceal her work travels. It also has a workplace romance trope when Alex takes the job as event planner for Eric's newly purchased, soon-to-reopen Hotel Bel Air. Thank you so much. I really look forward to hearing your ideas.
Okay, I love the idea of this futuristic romance sci-fi book where the world has changed for the better, because I feel like in all of our futuristic visions that we read about, the world has changed for the worse and it's dystopian or it's post-apocalyptic. So I like the idea that things are okay and we're in 2172, but the world is still going and we're still having workplace romances. I would suggest looking at Alona Andrews for the futuristic romance vibe. It's a couple who write together under the name Alona Andrews, but look at their Kate Daniels series, which is a futuristic romance. It may have enough of the same vibe as like a Hidden Identity, Secret Identity, that part of it. And then I would look at This Is How You Lose the Time War by Max Gladstone and Amal El-Motar, which continues to sell just hand over fist for us. We just can't keep it in stock. And again, it's a futuristic sci-fi, maybe harder sci-fi than what you have, but it's a futuristic look at this epistolary. It's a correspondence where love develops. But I think maybe Kate Daniels could work. And we hosted Alona Andrews. They participated in a virtual event. And man, we sold the heck out of those books, even with a virtual event, which never happens. So people love them. And that, I think, would be a great comp.
Thank you, Emily. Okay, number 13.
Hi, Bianca and Emily. Thank you so much for doing this. I'm seeking comp for my YA fantasy that was featured in one of the earlier episodes, the Snow White and the Little Red Riding Hood mashup. What if Snow White was the evil queen and she's destined to be slain by her own child? Only the child doesn't know who she is and is suddenly brought into the fairy tale realm after being hidden in the human realm for a while. She has a gruff knight ensuring her safety, and he's one of the seven dwarfs. And she's also got a maid tagging along, helping out in the adventure, and she's Little Red Riding Hood. Together, they're on a quest to get rid of the evil queen from that realm. The tone is very much of the old fairy tales, and it's omni-narrative, and it's infused with humor. Here are two unlikely heroines fated to save their world from an evil queen, only if they can live long enough to figure out what they're supposed to be doing. My current comps are The Bear and the Nightingale for the narrative voice, and I've got Gilded by Marissa Mayer because of the dark undertones to both of these stories, but I feel like Gilded isn't quite suitable because mine doesn't revolve around romance. So if you've got something better for me, that'd be fantastic. Thank you
again. Again, A plus, right on the money. I would suggest Bear and the Nightingale. I think Gilded works too, even if there's not a romance. This is the comp where I will mention Alex Harrow. Specifically, I was thinking of her fairy tale retellings like A Spindle Splintered. And then for a specifically YA comp, although there is certainly plenty of overlap between a lot of adult fantasy and YA fantasy, but for specifically a YA suggestion, I would look at the books of Bridget Kemmerer and see if any of those may fit here.
Okay, we have two left. Here's the second last one.
Hi, I'm looking for comp titles for my new middle grade fantasy. And thank you so much, Emily, for asking Amy and Morgan to help with comps for my last book. I was touched by that extra effort. This book is about a boy who discovers that his new dryer creates magical gloves. With each fresh load of laundry, a new superpower is his to wear. Self-duplication and telekinesis are all fun and games, until powers like voice stealing and earthquakes endanger his family. To keep the good gloves powered, he must follow the trail of how the dryer fell into his possession. My story takes a power-giddy boy from playing with magic to gaining a stronger understanding for the people in his life. The closest comp I can think of is the TV series Lock and Key, which I believe is based on graphic novels. Mine has a similar sense of wonder to it, but it is much lighter in tone. Thank you.
Okay, for something lighter, much lighter than Lock and Key for a middle grade, I found two books that could work if we're talking younger middle grade, which it sounds like we probably are. And one is called The Unforgettable Logan Foster by Sean Peters. And in that book, Logan himself does not have special powers or discover magic, but he realizes that his family does. And then there's a series by Marcus Emerson called The Super Life of Ben Braver. And Ben Braver also has some special powers and some magical abilities. But both of those are more fun and lighter in tone. And so they may be the right style of middle grade fantasy for this one.
Okay, here we go. Last one.
This is Heather Dodge Martin. I'm seeking comps for Party Pieces, my dual POV upmarket historical women's fiction novel set in Northern California in the early 1970s. Nancy, a young emergency room nurse, is secretly saving up money to send herself to medical school. But when her best friend Nate comes home from his tour in Vietnam with emotional trauma, his desperate parents call on Nancy to help care for him. Nate drops out of society to join a back-to-the-land hippie colony, seeking atonement. Nancy puts her life on hold to follow him, trying to help him heal and return to his family and their former friendship. She's totally unprepared for the conditions, filth, casual sex, and drug use. Over time, their feelings for each other intensify and they cross all the lines between patient and nurse, friends and lovers. In the end, Nancy is torn between abandoning her own ambitions or failing her responsibilities to those she cares for. This adult coming-of-age novel highlights the empowering connections of friendship and found family with a feminist perspective.
1970s California, I will read anything there. So this one is for me. So Heather, thank you for telling us about it. The first thing I thought of is too big to be helpful, and that's The Women by Kristen Hanna, because of the Vietnam vet angle and because we've got a nurse and healthcare caretaker vibes. Even though it's so big, it may be spot on enough that it's worth mentioning just because of that Vietnam through line. For the Northern California 1970s commune, struggling people, all of that, an adult coming of age, a feminist perspective, I thought of the wonderful book that is just out in paperback by Eden Lapucki called Time's Mouth. So Time's Mouth has a speculative bend to it, but it is central to the plot, but it is slight enough that even I, who do not skew toward anything really speculative, loved it. I absolutely loved it. And it was because of that very specific and acute Northern California setting, because of its feminist perspective and just how captivating it is. So look at Time's Mouth by Eden Lapucki and see if it has anything that could work. And if not, you're still going to read a great book because it is wonderful and just out in paperback.
Thank you so much, Emily. As per usual, invaluable, invaluable insight, and our to-be-reads are growing. For our listeners, if you have comps that you need to request titles for, make sure you get them in as early as you can. We kind of record this segment mid-month. We will carry on with it for the next few months. So get in your queries as early as possible and give Emily as much information as you can, including tone and themes, etc., as that helps her there. Emily, we look forward to having you back next month.
Thank you, Bianca.
A reminder that this is an unscripted program and our conversations have been edited and condensed and is not a full picture of our feedback or conversation directly with each author. As always, refer back to our written notes for the fulsome picture. Carly Waters and Cece Lira are agents at PS Literary Agency, but their work on this podcast is not affiliated with the agency, and the views expressed by Carly and Cece on this podcast are solely that of them as podcast co-hosts and do not necessarily reflect the views, opinions, policies, or position of PS Literary Agency. A reminder about all the ways that you can support us as a show: rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, tell your writing friends about us. We'd love to help as many writers as possible. And follow us on our Substack newsletter. Get our stacked newsletter on a weekly basis, bonus videos, articles, essays, advice, and more. You can find it at theshitaboutwriting.substack.com. That's theshitaboutwriting.substack.com.
And that's it for today's episode. I hope you'll join us for next week's show. In the meantime, keep at it. Remember, it just takes one yes.
Did you know that 70% of all books, including those traditionally published, are sold online via e-commerce? If you're an author wondering how you can get some of that market share, this is for you. Hi, I'm your co-host, Carly Waters. And I'm here to tell you how writers can work on their author brand and build an audience and convert those followers into book buyers. Ever wonder why so many authors publish books and later say that they didn't sell as many copies as they wanted? It happens over and over. And we see it all over social media. Authors think it's a them problem, but not always. They just weren't shown the way. And I don't want you guys to launch a book and show up at book events and have 2 people in the chairs. I've helped clients launch client books to the bestseller list for 15 years and have built a 6-module, 11-hour course with all of my knowledge that will give you the craft and book business information that you simply won't find anywhere else. And there's an app plus monthly Q&A sessions with me. 200 of you have already joined my new course. And as writer Siobhan Moore said, I'm halfway through the course and grieving that I didn't have this information sooner. There's really nowhere else to find it. Worth every penny. If you want the info that will change the course of your writing career, go to carlywaters.com/course to learn more and use discount code POD15, that's POD15 at checkout. That's POD15 at checkout over at carlywaters.com/course. I'll see you there.
Hi, everyone. This is Cece. I am so excited to share that I am teaching my super popular Hacking Writing on a Line Level class in November. And this time, it's a 3-day event. We'll spend the first 2 days learning rules and techniques that will help you elevate your writing. And then the third day will be dedicated for Q&A. This class is filled with examples, and I mean it, all examples all the time. So you will leave with an invaluable toolkit to hack your own writing on a line level. Check out the link in my bio on Instagram for more information. I hope to see you there.